Until you make the unconscious conscious, it will direct your life, and you will call it fate. Your visions will become clear only when you can look into your own heart. Who looks outside dreams. Who looks inside awakes. People will do anything, no matter how absurd, in order to avoid facing their own souls. One does not become enlightened by imagining figures of light, but by making the darkness conscious. Be silent and listen. Have you recognized your madness? And do you admit it? Have you noticed that all your foundations are completely mired in madness? Do you not want to recognize your madness and welcome it in a friendly manner? You wanted to accept everything. So accept madness too. Let the light of your madness shine, and it will suddenly dawn on you. Madness is not to be despised and not to be feared, but instead you should give it life. If you want to find paths, you should also not spurn madness, since it makes up such a great part of your nature. Be glad that you can recognize it, for you will thus avoid becoming its victim. Madness is a special form of the spirit and clings to all teachings and philosophies, but even more to daily life. Since life itself is full of craziness and at bottom, utterly illogical. Man strives towards reason only so that he can make rules for himself. Life itself has no rules. This is its mystery and its unknown law. What you call knowledge is an attempt to impose something comprehensible on life. Everything that irritates us about others can lead us to an understanding of ourselves. I am not what happened to me. I am what I choose to become. A man who has not passed through the inferno of his passions has never overcome them. As far as we can discern, the sole purpose of human existence is to kindle a light in the darkness of mere being. Knowing your own darkness is the best method for dealing with the darkness of other people. Loneliness does not come from having no people about one, but from being unable to communicate the things that seem important to oneself, or from holding certain views which others find inadmissible. The pendulum of the mind oscillates between sense and nonsense, not between right and wrong. There are as many nights as days, and the one is just as long as the other in a year's course. Even a happy life cannot be without a measure of darkness, and the word happy would lose its meaning if it were not balanced by sadness. It all depends how we look at things, and not on how things are in themselves. The least of things with a meaning is worth more in life than the greatest of things without it. The first half of life is devoted to forming a healthy ego. The second half of life is going inward and letting go of it. Where love rules, there is no will to power, and where power predominates, love is lacking. The one is the shadow of the other. I am astonished, disappointed, pleased with myself. I am distressed, depressed, rapturous. I am all these things at once, and cannot add up the sum. I am incapable of determining ultimate worth or worthlessness. I have no judgment about myself and my life. There is nothing I am quite sure about. I have no definite convictions, not about anything really. I know only that I was born to exist, and it seems to me that I have been carried along. I exist on the foundation of something I do not know. We should not pretend to understand the world only by the intellect. We apprehend it just as much by feeling. Therefore, the judgment of the intellect is at best only half of the truth, and must, if it be honest, also come to an understanding of its inadequacy. Mistakes are, after all, the foundations of truth. If a man does not know what a thing is, it is at least an increase in knowledge if he knows what it is not. No tree, it is said, can grow to heaven unless its roots reach down to hell. It is my mind, with its store of images, that gives the world color and sound, and that supremely real and rational certainty, which I can experience, is in its most simple form, an exceedingly complicated structure of mental images. Thus there is, in a certain sense, nothing that is directly experienced except the mind itself. Everything is meditated through the mind, translated, filtered, allegorized, twisted, even falsified by it. We are enveloped in a cloud of changing and endlessly shifting images. Every form of addiction is bad, no matter whether the narcotic be alcohol, morphine, or idealism. About a third of my cases are suffering from no clinically definable neurosis, but from the senselessness and emptiness of their lives. This can be defined as the general neurosis of our times. Midlife is the time to let go of our over-dominant ego and to contemplate the deeper significance of human existence. Wholeness is not achieved by cutting off a portion of one's being, but by integration of the contraries. In all chaos, there is a cosmos. In all disorder, a secret order. I have frequently seen people become neurotic when they content themselves with inadequate or wrong answers to the questions of life. They seek position, marriage, reputation, outward success of money, and remain unhappy and neurotic even when they have attained what they were seeking. Such people are usually confined within too narrow a spiritual horizon. Their life has not sufficient content, sufficient meaning. If they are enabled to develop into more spacious personalities, the neurosis generally disappears. As a child, I felt myself to be alone, and I am still, because I know things and must hint at things which others apparently know nothing of, and for the most part do not want to know. The acceptance of oneself is the essence of the whole moral problem and the epitome of a whole outlook on life. That I feed the hungry, that I forgive an insult, that I love my enemy in the name of Christ. All these are undoubtedly great virtues. What I do unto the least of my brethren, that I do unto Christ. But what if I should discover that the least among them all, the poorest of all beggars, the most impudent of all offenders, the very enemy himself, that these are within me, and that I myself stand in need of the arms of my own kindness, that I myself am the enemy who must be loved? As a rule, the Christian's attitude is then reversed. There is no longer any question of love or long-suffering. We say to the brother within us, Rekha, and condemn and rage against ourselves. We hide it from the world. We refuse to admit ever having met this least among the lowly in ourselves.